Genesis chapter 39, and let's begin reading in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. I want to preach to you about this thought that God's been dealing with me about. And it's simply this: make me a blessing. Make me a blessing, Lord. I just want to be a blessing. Hallelujah. I just want you to use me to be a blessing. Is anybody, could that be our prayer today? Lord, I pray that you would make us a blessing. I pray that you would use us to bless those around us. Use us, Lord, to bless this city. Use us to bless those we work with. I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Make us a blessing in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated today. We're thankful for the love of God, the presence of God. Joseph prospered. God was with him. The Lord took everything that Joseph did and put his favor upon it. Joseph was a goodly person. He was well favored. Joseph was blessed. If we had the opportunity to go back and live the life of Joseph, would that be something that we would like to do? If we were given that opportunity, before we made our decision, I know what we would all want to know. Is it going to be the life of Joseph after he was made prime minister of Egypt? Or is it going to be his life before he went to the palace? Would we have to go through everything he did, being sold into slavery by our own brothers, being falsely accused and thrown into prison? You know, what are we talking about here? What are we going to have to go through? The 13 years that he was a slave, or the time after he was delivered? And I think that's just natural for us to think about, but here's the thing. The 13 years of slavery were times of testing, development, becoming disciplined, trusting God, learning to wait on the Lord. Without everything that took place in those 13 years, Joseph would have never made it to the palace. It took a lot of ups and downs to prepare him for the great things that God had designed for his life. Psalm chapter 105, verse 18 says, it talks about Joseph being sold into slavery, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until that time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The pain that Joseph went through in slavery was very real, yet it did not cancel the plan of God in his life. His season of affliction came, it was a time where the word of the Lord tried him. The word of God tested him. The enemy would like us to think today that because we're going through the trying of our faith, that we've somehow missed the plan of God for our life. Surely, somewhere we've got off track, and surely we've stepped out of the will of God, and why else would we be facing all of these things? What Joseph went through did not mean that the plan of God for his life was canceled. No, but God was using what he went through. The word of the Lord tried him. Another thing about this verse that's interesting, it says he was laid in iron. Bible commentary F.B. Meyer says we can actually turn that sentence around. Instead of saying he was laid in iron, you could say iron was laid in him. We're going to pour concrete. You have to have something that goes inside that concrete, and they'll put rebar in it, and they'll lay that iron, that steel within it. Amen. Sometimes we need some iron laid in us. Iron was laid in him, or even better yet, iron entered into his soul. When we first met Joseph in the Bible, he's an impatient and immature and braggadocious youth. He had a lot of big dreams, but not a lot of wisdom. Yet he comes out of those 13 years of slavery, well equipped to lead Egypt, the greatest nation in the world at that time. Iron entered his soul. Through everything he went through and everything he had to deal with, he became strong in the faith. We wonder sometimes why God allows the storms and the trials to come our way. Oh, why does he let us be tested? And why aren't things easier? And why so many struggles and temptations? Maybe God knows we need a little iron laid in our soul. Why is that? Because of the favor that God has in store for us, the blessings that he has prepared for us. We have to be strengthened in order to be ready to handle it. Come on today. God's trying to build somebody. God's trying to build our strength. He's trying to help us stand. We're being prepared for greatness. Don't give up in the midst of the preparation that God is doing right now. So Joseph's brothers sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelites, and they brought him to Egypt, where Potiphar, he was one of Pharaoh's officers, he purchased him, but the Bible says God was with Joseph. And when Potiphar recognized that the hand of the Lord was on Joseph, he made him overseer over everything that he had. Genesis chapter 39, verse 5, it says, "And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." God blessed Potiphar's house and God blessed Potiphar's fields because of Joseph. Not everybody is able to do this, to be a blessing like Joseph, because he was still a slave. He was not his own master. Everything good that happened in Joseph's life, it was a blessing for someone else. It was another man's house. It was another man's fields. He was building another man's kingdom. But God was teaching Joseph some things. Luke 16 and 12 tells us, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" God, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Help me to bless those around me. Help me to be a blessing on my job. Let me be a blessing to my family. Let me be a blessing in my church. Make me a blessing, oh God. And when Joseph was thrown in jail, it certainly seemed like everything was falling apart in his life. He was wrongly accused. And here he was just being a blessing, but what does he get for it? Potiphar's wife sets him up, and he's thrown into prison. And now not only is he a slave, but now he's rotten in a jail cell for something he didn't even do. And Joseph has gone from being privileged in his father's house to the pit his brothers threw him in, to being sold as property in the slave market, to the privilege of managing Potiphar's house, to then overcoming temptation, only to be falsely accused. And now he's in the prison of Pharaoh. But as Joseph sat there in the gloom of that dirty prison cell, the Lord was with him. In fact, God's hand was all over it. This was not a setback. It was another step forward. Amen. Bringing Joseph closer to the place where he could save his family and the whole world from a famine that would have destroyed them. Genesis 39 and 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Hallelujah. Somebody once said, the cream has a way of rising to the top anywhere it's at. That's the kind of person we want to be, walking in favor, God with us, prospering everything we do. When something happens that should have taken us out, we just keep rising up to the top. Oh, when life hits us hard, we just keep getting back up. When things come that take our breath away, we take a moment to catch our breath, and then we keep on going. Oh, come on, somebody. You need to get back up. You need to keep pushing forward. There's a prize to win. God has a reward for us, but we got to keep on rising to the top. Napoleon, the Emperor of France, was said to have an odd way of choosing his generals. After he had looked over the record of everything they had done, all of their qualifications, then he would ask himself, is this man lucky? Is this man, this general, lucky? That's how he described it. What he was looking for is, it's not necessarily luck, but does this man have favor? Is there something about this one that here's all the qualifications, but is there that extra something that this man has favor? Amen. Joseph was more than just lucky. He was blessed. He was blessed to be a blessing. He walked in God's favor. He blessed others wherever he found himself. God wants us to carry that kind of blessing with us. Come on, he wants you to carry that kind of blessing to the office. Amen, the factory. Amen, the hospital, wherever it is that we work. He wants us to carry that kind of blessing into the halls of a school that's void of joy and hope and people that cry out to God. He wants us to carry our blessings every place we go throughout the week. Hey, your boss ought to realize that they're blessed when they hired you. That school ought to know that they're blessed because you're a student there. Walmart and Price Cutter and Dollar General, they should know when we walk through the doors, there should be something about the presence of a child of a king, that they feel the blessings. They feel the favor of God. They realize there's something different. Oh, can anybody say today, God, make me a blessing? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord was with Joseph. I want to tell you, that's what makes the difference. The Lord was with Joseph. That's the added dimension to his life. When the Lord is with us, that makes for success anywhere we go. Where would we be without the Lord? Think about this. A palace is no better than a prison to us if God isn't with us. A palace is no better than a prison if we're without God. And so people today will give everything they can to become the next entertainer, the next celebrity influencer, the next sports star. And when they reach the top, they're worse off than before, because now they've got all the heartache that comes with their success, but they still don't have Jesus. Oh, I want to tell you, when you have Jesus, you can make it through anything. When you have Jesus, it doesn't matter who else leaves you. It doesn't matter how bad they treat you. Come on, when you have Jesus, it doesn't matter what else you go through. You know, I can make it because he's with me. I can go through this because he's helping me. I can make it because God never leaves me nor forsakes me. And so Joseph had troubles. He went through tribulation. He had enemies. He was betrayed. People broke their promises. There was enough misfortune to have destroyed him, but the Lord was with Joseph. He wasn't forsaken. He wasn't alone. The blessings of God continued with him. They could sell him as a slave, but God was still with him. They could throw him in a jail, but they couldn't keep God out. God was with him, and that's what makes the difference. Amen. I want to preach to some young people today. In all of your seeking a career and a business and an education and all of that, don't forget seeking the presence of Almighty God. That's what makes the difference. Oh, dear brother or sister, in all your seeking for success, don't you dare forget to seek a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. If God is with us, hallelujah. How many ritzy neighborhoods in America are full of people living in beautiful mansions, driving expensive cars, parking in garages full of fancy toys? They never have to worry about money. They've got it all, or so we think. But they don't have Jesus. And without Jesus, nothing else matters. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Lord was with Joseph, and that makes all the difference. It was the goodness of God that set Joseph apart, and he was a blessing to Potiphar. In fact, we know that you can study this. Potiphar must not have really believed his wife, that Joseph had tried to take advantage of her, because if he had believed that, Joseph would have been dead. Poor Potiphar, he lost Joseph, the greatest blessing that he'd ever received. And now he's stuck with a wife that's still unfaithful. He had to do something to back up his wife, and so he throws Joseph in prison. But Joseph, there in jail, he's still a blessing. The keeper of the prison had it easy. He didn't have to worry about anything. Joseph ran it all, and God blessed it, everything that he did. And then when the butler finally remembers to tell Pharaoh about this man in prison that interpreted his dream, he's called to interpret a dream of Pharaoh, and God makes a way for him to be exalted above everyone else in the land, to prepare for the hard times coming that would have destroyed them all. And in that blessing, Joseph is still a blessing to everyone else. He was blessed to be a blessing. Sometimes we want God to bless us. We want to walk in the favor of the Lord. We want to be blessed in our coming in and blessed in our going out. We want to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. And we want our children to be blessed. We want everything we do to prosper. But what is our motive behind it all? Is it so we can hoard all the blessings of God? Is it so we can get a big pile of stuff that we can call our own? Is it so people can look at us and say, wow, they're really blessed? Or is it so that we can be a blessing to someone else? God, make me a blessing. God, make me a blessing. Everywhere I go, let your blessings go with me. When I walk into somebody's house, let them feel the favor of God. When I meet somebody in the store, let them be blessed too. When I go to the bank, let that bank teller be blessed by your favor. Wherever I am, Lord, let your spirit go with me to be a blessing to somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Over the years, I've seen people come into settlements, inheritances, sell property for crazy amounts of money, get raises on the job because God gave them favor, have doors open to them that no man could have opened. And many of them never even think about being a blessing. In fact, some of them never even consider paying tithes and offerings on what God has blessed them with. I want to tell you, there's no faster way to dry up the blessings of God. God didn't give it to us to make us fat with his favor. He gave it to us to be a blessing. And as God prospers us, amen, as the blessings of God increase in our life, our practice of being a blessing should increase as well. Make me a blessing. The life of Joseph was about being a blessing. Even when he'd reached the top, all he could focus on was how to bring his father and his family down to Egypt so he could bless them and provide for them and keep them. Make me a blessing. And look at what that blessing started. Jacob's family was sustained because of Joseph. And they grew and they multiplied. So much so that a new Pharaoh came on the scene and he was afraid of these mighty people. But the blessings of God kept on, and their descendants today, the Jewish people, are the most blessed in all the earth. Because Joseph made up his mind that instead of getting bitter, instead of lashing out at everyone around him, instead of getting even, instead of getting mad at God, he said, I'm going to be a blessing. God's looking for that kind of attitude. God's looking for that kind of spirit. He's looking for somebody that says, it's not about me, Lord, but I just want to be a conduit that you can direct your blessings through. It cost something to be a blessing like that. We have to lay down our pride. We have to give up the right to be right. All the time. We have to learn how to love our enemies, how to pray for those who despitefully use us. We've got to learn to bite our tongue instead of saying what we want to sometimes, because we're going to be a blessing even to those who may not deserve it. But that's our calling. That's what we live for. That's how God uses us. We're blessed to be a blessing. So that's what God has called each and every one of us to be, a blessing. Jesus told his disciples, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Salt was very precious in those days. It was highly valued. Roman soldiers were sometimes paid with salt. It was so valuable. That's where the saying, worth his salt, came from. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be precious to those around us. We're to be the light of the world. A world full of darkness needs the light of Jesus Christ. And that light is to shine through us. Make me a blessing, God. Help me to be salt and light. We can never change the world by becoming like it. We only change the world by standing out. By becoming more like Jesus and less like the world. That's when light can shine. If we try to imitate the darkness, what do we have to show the world? We're just like everything else they find out there. We can't impact others for Jesus by becoming like the world, but we're meant to stand out so that we can be a blessing. The disciples had this infectious ability to touch everyone around them. Has anybody ever been infectious? You gave everybody in your house the cold that you picked up from somewhere? Well, the disciples were infectious in a good way. Everybody around them caught their love for God, their passion for the gospel. Others were blessed because they were blessed. God, make me a blessing. Abraham's prayers covered Lot. Lot didn't realize it, but he was blessed because of Abraham. Thank God for those who have blessed us through their prayers, through their godly example, because they lived for God. They walked in favor, and that favor rubbed off on us. Elisha blessed the home of the Shunammite woman. They had no child, but because of the man of God, they were able to have a son. Mephibosheth was blessed because of Jonathan. King David said, "Is there anybody left of the house of Saul so I can bless them because of my friend Jonathan?" And soon there was a crippled boy named Mephibosheth who found himself at the king's table. The apostle Paul was on a prison ship, but he saved everybody on that ship. God made him to be a blessing. They would have all been lost, but God gave Paul the answer, and every man was saved, and they brought revival to the island they landed on. God, make me a blessing like that. God, make me a blessing like that. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today for the prayers of the saints that have been prayed for me. Amen. Some of you have parents that have lived for God for years and they prayed for you. Maybe it was some brother or sister in the church. They prayed for you. The old song says, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God would bring me out, that he could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Thank God for the prayers of the saints. Thank God for the prayers of people I didn't even know who were praying for me. It might have been somebody on the other side of the world. They got lost in prayer. They were interceding in the Holy Ghost. They didn't even know what they were praying for, but God was directing them to pray because I was in a crisis. Thank God someone prayed for me. I wish somebody would cry out today, God, make me a blessing like that. Make me a blessing like that. To make a difference in others through my prayers. To be able to intercede and reach the heavens for someone else. God, make me a blessing. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ became a blessing for us. John 15:13 declares, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. His commandment is that we love one another as he loved us. What an example to live up to. He became a blessing. God manifested in flesh was made a blessing for us. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The only way for us to receive salvation was for God to robe himself in flesh, to be made a curse for us, to go to the cross and pay the price for our sins, that we could receive the blessing of Abraham. That means just like they were blessed, we're going to be blessed to be part of the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And now, because of what Jesus did for us, we can repent of our sins. We can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, washing away all of our sins, and we can be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just like it happened in the Bible. Jesus became a blessing to us, and we're supposed to be a blessing too. When you find what the world over is searching for, the answer they've been looking for, when we find it, when we discover the gift that God has for us, it's not for us to keep it quiet. It's not for us to hide it away. We got to share the good news. We've got to tell somebody else they can be delivered, they can be healed, they can be set free, they can have real hope and joy and peace. Order my steps, Lord. Let me be a blessing to somebody. Let me be at the right place at the right time to tell somebody about Jesus, to pray and see somebody healed, to share the gospel with someone who is lost. Make me a blessing. The other day, God made me a blessing. But it didn't start off looking like that. I had some issues with my truck, and I'd gone to the dealership, and I said, well, this, and this is wrong with it. And they worked with it, and they said, well, we don't know. I'm like, well, if you don't know, what are we supposed to do, you know? And they said, well, maybe you need a new battery. Maybe. And I said, maybe. It looks like something's a little off there, and it could maybe cause some of these things. And they said, if we would change the battery out, it's going to be like $500. Go get your battery and do it yourself, and you'll save some money. So that was weeks ago. Finally, I decided I got to do it. And so I pop the hood, and I look in there, the Brassfield, and I'm like, what? There was wires and little clips and little. I had never seen a battery looking like this before on these new cars. It's not as easy as just getting a lug wrench and just and you're done. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. So I go to Walmart. I park, I talk to them. It was the longest process ever. And they're not in a hurry. And they're nice enough, but I'm telling you, it took forever. And I'm like, do not have time for this. This is not what I want to be doing today. I've got to get moving, and I'm looking at the watch, and oh my goodness, my day's just wasted, and here I am, and I'm sitting in the waiting room, and nothing's happening. That I haven't pulled my car in, and I'm just sitting there waiting. A man comes in, sits down beside me. He picks up a magazine, starting to read, and I said, hey, are you here to get your tires fixed or get an oil change? He said, well, I've got a tire that I'm having trouble with. I was like, okay. And so we started talking. As soon as he started talking, I realized this man has had a stroke, and he's having some difficulty, you know, talking. But the conversation was so very interesting. And so we started talking back and forth, and he told me he was a retired policeman, and he had to retire because he had a stroke, and it was just a small stroke. And then later on, he had a major stroke, and so, you know, he's been struggling with this. And he said that, here he goes, he starts witnessing to me. And he said, you know, a lot of people would really be mad at God if they went through what I went through. He said, but I realize God's in control. God has a plan for things. God has good through this. And he's there, and he's talking about the things he's had to overcome, and he can't do some of the things he used to do. He was a musician that played in Branson, and he with some of these different stars that have come through, and he can't play his guitar anymore and all of this. But then Brother Long, he said, but, you know, here's the amazing thing. He said, I can't talk well, but I can sing. because there's one part of the brain that controls your talking and the other part of the brain controls your singing. And so he pulled up his phone and played a Christmas song that he just recorded a few weeks before. I'm going to tell you, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I said, well, anyway, later on, I told him we've got a Christmas banquet, and I hope he's going to come and maybe sing a song for us. So you'll get to meet him. But we're sitting there, and I'm telling this for a reason. The man from Walmart comes in, tells this man, he says, I'm sorry, we can't repair the tire. You're going to have to buy a new one. And he said, you know, because of our rules, you can't just buy one, you got to buy two, because they have to replace the whole axle, you know. And so the man sat there for me and said, well, can you just put some air back up in it, and I'll have to wait till I can get one later. Right there in that moment, I realized why I was there. I realized why I was going through the trouble I've been going through. Here was a man that had such a good attitude about everything he'd gone through, and he couldn't pay for his attire. And to be honest with you, I was looking for a credit card to pay for my stuff, but I thought, I cannot let him go without getting him some tires. So I go out and talk to the guy at Walmart and say, hey, can you bring his car back in? I'm going to take care of his tires. And he didn't even know it yet, and so he's coming up to get his keys, and I'm standing there talking, and I said, now, are these the tires you need? And he's like, no, I'm not getting that today. And he's like, no, I'm going to get your tires. He started bawling, weeping. And I said, okay, all right. Okay, Lord, I'll flow with this. I said, let's pray for you. We're standing there at the desk at Walmart. There's customers all around. I put my arm around him, start praying that God would heal him and restore him and bless him. Amen. And he's praying. There was another man in the waiting room, comes out, and he's like, oh, this is wonderful. I'm so glad that this is happening here. And that one of the managers of the service department came out and said, hey, this just restores our faith. And man, and this is awesome. And before it was over, I was handing out cards about the church and inviting people to church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. God wants to put you in the right place at the right time so that you can impact somebody's life. They don't have hope. They don't have joy. They don't have peace. But God is going to enable you to be there for them. And God's going to bless you. We're going to be salt. We're going to be light to this world and impact people for Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. I don't tell that to brag on me, but I tell that to show you sometimes when you're a blessing, it doesn't start out looking like that. But all of a sudden, there'll be a realization, oh, this is a God thing. Don't you dare shy away from that, but you go forward and say, okay, God, use me to be a blessing. God, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Joseph got this. He understood this principle. Make me a blessing. That's what took him to the top. And I feel today God wants to bless somebody. Psalm 67 and 6 says, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God wants to pour out some blessings today. And then with that blessing, we will have the power to turn around and start blessing somebody else. How is it that God wants to bless you? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you been filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit? If not, God wants to bless you today, so that you can bless somebody else. Hallelujah. Is it a financial need today? I want to tell you, God is able. But the financial blessings that God wants to give are so that we can turn around and be a blessing. Maybe your family's in a crisis. I want to tell you, the power of God can do anything. But it's more than just a blessing for us. That blessing is to make room for us to be a blessing to someone else, to help someone else in need, to encourage someone so that they can make it too. God, make me a blessing. Is there anybody here today that you'd say, Lord, I want you to bless me so I can be a blessing. Lord, I want you to use me to impact people around me. I want you to move through me, Lord, so that others can be saved, so that other lives can be transformed. Lord, use me, make me a blessing. I wonder if we could come to this altar right now and just surrender to the plan of God. I wonder if you just lift your hands and surrender and say, God, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing, Lord. Use me to be a blessing, Lord. I am blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing, Lord. Move through me, Jesus. Help me to be at the right place at the right time to see a miracle in somebody's life, to pray a prayer of faith, to reach for somebody who's down. God, help me to be that vessel that you can use. Make me a blessing.